I'm now going to call on the bishop for the bishop's address. If you would just bow your heads for a moment and let me offer a prayer. Heavenly Father, I beseech you to see before you a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, and a sinner of your own redeeming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's see if we can get our slides up for the big screen. There we go. Good. That's one piece done. We begin with this. God looked down on the earth that he created and said, I need a caretaker for this world that I have made. And so God made a farmer. I need somebody with strong arms, strong enough to wrestle a calf, but gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call the hogs, tame, cantankerous machinery. I need somebody to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, and then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need someone to shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout and shoe a horse with a hunk of tire, who at planting time and harvest will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon. So God made a farmer. I need somebody to ride the ruts at double speed, to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds, and yet stop in midfield to race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place, strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, and yet gentle enough to tame lambs, wean pigs, and tend the pink comb pullets. So God made a farmer. It had to be someone who would plow deep and straight, not cut corners, somebody to seed and weed and feed and breed and rake and disc and plow and plant, plow the snow and strain the milk and replenish the self-feeder and finish a hard day's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who would bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says he wants to spend his life doing what dad does. So God made a farmer. Copying a video posted to YouTube in 2011 by farms.com, we were captivated for 2 minutes last Sunday night during the Super Bowl, while the values and future of American farming left the sidelines of the popular conversation to dominate a very large stage, even if it was meant to advertise a Dodge Ram truck. God Made a Farmer was a speech given by the legendary radio broadcaster Paul Harvey at a 1978 Future Farmers of America convention. The powerful words on Super Bowl night were accentuated by a two-minute series of gorgeous still images from 10 noted photographers. The advertisement last week earned widespread praise because it tapped into the legacy of America's breadbasket and hard lives lived through the last century, but it also received criticism as it featured almost no Hispanics or minorities, though they made up nearly half of all hired farm workers in 2010. Yet, as I sat there and viewed the combination of art and poetry, it touched something inside of my heart. It resonated with the powerful images of modern-day farmers and migrant workers who are our parishioners. It reminded me personally of grandfathers and mothers and a Dust Bowl generation past who toiled hard in Nebraska and Texas. But more than anything else, it resonated because the images and words tapped deeply into the well of Scripture and its imagery of godly work. Yes, God made farmers. God made farmers to watch over and care for his creation. God made farmers to fertilize the world with God's love and to do so in word and example. God said, follow me and watch how I sow. Now you sow seeds of love with abandon on all kinds of soil, just as I taught you. He did not make particularly efficient farmers, but he made good ones. God made his farmers to persevere against evil and to work against those things that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. God called us to tend his garden. God made farmers to labor on behalf of one's neighbors, to toil and work for justice and peace among all people, to raise up every human being as a child of God. God invites us to get our hands dirty in the soil and dirt of life and to be his hands at work in the world. God sent farmers out to find the lost sheep and to save them and to care for them. To be sure, God made us farmers, and God is praying and hoping that more will join him in the fields and valleys of his creation, laboring for the cause of love. For when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. He had compassion, and because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Indeed, God made us farmers. Bishop Texas George Consolving once quoted Mordecai to a group of seminarians with their missionary lives in front of them, and he said, "You have been called for just such a time as this. We are called to lift high the cross and the banner of God in Christ Jesus and his church. For as Texas George said, the kingdom of heaven, in a very deep and real sense, cometh not from observation." We believe in the Episcopal Diocese of Texas that God's mission has a church, the Episcopal Church, and we are his faithful people, his good farmers. Our mission is clear: to love the people of God and cling to the banner of God, come what will and cost what it may. This is our faith. This is our witness. This is our story. And this is our time. And there is no better time than right here, right now, to be in Texas. I prefer no simpler time nor a time of rest. I would prefer not a time from our past, but I prefer this time. For this is the season to give birth and to plant, a season to harvest and a season to heal, a season to build up and a time to dance and to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to sow, to speak to love and to speak to peace. Yes, it is also a time of change. Life, children, technology, workplace, and the church are all environments of change. Almost like sand moving beneath our feet, it may seem as though everything is up for grabs, but not for the Christian and not for the Episcopalian. For our foundation is not built upon sand, but upon the foundation of God in Christ Jesus. Christian mission thrives in a time of change. And in Texas, we relish the charting of new courses and the mapping of new territories. Because in the Diocese of Texas, we seek out our own personal change and transformation, believing that this happens because of our love for Christ and Christ's love for us. This reconciliation with Christ and one another enables us to move outside of our congregations, our church buildings, and work for change in our neighborhoods, in our communities, cities, and counties of our diocese. It is what energizes us locally to do mission and sends us out to be at work in the wider world with over 45 different relationships with dioceses and provinces throughout the Anglican Communion. We are at work changing the churches in which we minister and the world we live in. And sometimes I'll tell you that transformation comes in fits and starts. It happens between two people quietly. And sometimes I have seen that a whole city can be changed because of our ministry. We believe that we have been given the charge over sacred things, sacred plantings, and that we are invested in nothing less than the hands-on harvesting work of transforming the world. The people in Texas have to be better off tomorrow because we are here today as the Episcopal Church. This is our field to plow, to sow, to tend, and to harvest. This image you see before you is a Texas railroad map. It is ours. It is from 1907. Texas George Consolving himself sat down and looked at this map to see where the railroad was going and decided to plant churches along its route. As a diocese of Texas, what we have said is that no matter how hard it is, no matter what the conditions are, no matter what we believe the stumbling blocks are, we are investing in new churches and new communities. We will plow fields unplowed, and the ground will be rocky, and we know it will be weedy, and it will be hard, and we will do it anyway. Because we are the Diocese of Texas, we are God's farmers, and we are the Episcopal Church in this state, and we have work to do, and we're ready to do it. It is a good time to sow, because the reality is that most of the world is moving between Marshall, Longview, Waco, down I-35 to Austin and Victoria, to the Bay, and up onto Houston, and then to Galveston. What I want to show you now are these slides. This is the population density in 1850 in Texas. On these slides that I am about to show you, you can see the dark green areas, the dense population centers as they ebb and flow over time and over the years. As we move through them, you'll see a movement back to our diocese, and you'll begin to see some of the areas grow in their dark green nature. So here's 1850, 1860. That's where we are right now. This is where we're going. What this shows you is that Harris County, for instance, Harris County, will gain 2 million people by the year 2040. In the same time period, Travis County alone will gain 428,000 people. 54,000 new people in Waco in the next 27 years. Bryan College Station, 53,000 people. Tyler, 52,000 people. We've often said, well, that county's not growing, but I'll tell you right now, Beaumont and Jefferson County is going to gain 52,000 people between now and 2040. You understand that is like adding over the next 27 years three cities to the Diocese of Texas that are the same size as Austin is right now. Three cities the size of Austin in our diocese over the next 27 years. We are becoming the new millennium's giant melting pot of languages, ethnicities, experiences, and narratives. We are going to be the new world, and God needs us, and people need us, and people are waiting and hoping for some good news. And in this diocese, we have a little bit of good news to share. We might question, what kind of assets do we have? Well, we have 80,000 members, plus we have 25,000 of them worship on any given Sunday, over 150 congregations, 64 schools, institutions, and foundations. This is not a list of scarcity, people. People who call the Episcopal Church home are diverse. They are people who lead corporate America, who farm the land, who teach in our schools, who work in restaurants and yards, who are people who fix cars, they raise cows. We raise alligators in our diocese. We are people who sell furniture and we run banks. Episcopalians are people who bury the dead, help mothers give birth to their children, and sit with the suffering. We are a giant web of life, of jobs, of ministries, of missionary outposts. We are a giant web of delivery points for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not forget the laborer. We do not forget the lost. We help people. We help people in the Episcopal Church, and this is the work of God's mission. We have to go out. We have a foreign mission field in our own backyard. The neighborhoods and communities that exist outside the doors of our congregations seem somewhat farther away than the foreign cultures that we have sent hundreds of missionaries to. We have a mandate from God to tend the fields at home, to walk out of our congregations and find out the needs of our neighbor, to introduce ourselves, to say we're here to help and ask, what does the community need? Because you see, the vast migration will bring with it the modern problems of the world, and we, the Episcopal Church, must be here to help. We're here to make the neighborhood better. We're here to make it healthier. We're here to make it safer. These are the things that matter to our communities, so they must matter to us, because I am certain they matter to God. Today on our watch, I just want to give you a few examples. Today on our watch, this next map is the poorest counties in our diocese. Today on our watch, there is a care vacuum that must be addressed across our 57 counties. The vacuum includes access to health care, prevention, community and environmental health, poverty, education, and health disparities. Today, 30% of the population, or 1 million people in Harris County alone, have no health insurance. Today, 40% of all emergency department visits are for conditions that could have been treated if they had had access to primary care. In Harris County, African American women's rates of breast cancer mortality are 70% higher than white women, because these women are less likely to be diagnosed until a late stage of cancer. Today, half of all lifetime mental illnesses begin by age 14, 75% by age 24. Nationally, 1 in 5 children suffers from mental, emotional, or behavioral disorders, but only 1 in 8 of these are currently receiving treatment. Texas has more need and less access. Today, Houston has more food deserts than any other major metropolitan area in the U.S., and that means more than 440,000 people in our community can't get easy access to healthy food. Today, 25% of Harris County children live in food insecure households. That means that 280,000 children every night go to bed with the risk of hunger the next day. So dream with me. Dream with me about a church, an Episcopal church with a health mission that understands that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Dream with me about lowering breast cancer deaths for the poor and helping children find mental health care. Dream with me about creating on-site clinics in our churches across 57 counties to bring health care to the poorest of the poor, health education to our neighborhoods, where public schools need partners, and we are there and ready to respond. Dream with me where we have a church that believes that their problems and struggles are our own. Dream with me about food programs that help provide healthier choices in food deserts, feeding programs for the hungry, and food education for those who don't have any choices. The prophet Joel said, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the time to dream dreams. God is praying to send laborers out into his fields for the harvest. The harvest needs us, and we in Texas are called to say, here I am, Lord. We also have to be innovative in our evangelism. When I showed the growth charts to my staff, one of them said, it's hard to imagine our infrastructure will support such growth. This is true. We must undertake to build churches and communities throughout our diocese. To do this, we need a thriving congregational development plan. After all, it is in the Episcopal communities that worship and formation and mission work together to connect people and offer a vision of the kingdom. We help people discover their place within the sacred family of God and their ministry as unabashedly Episcopal missionaries. We empower baptismal ministry, which changes the world. Yet over the past two decades, we have not changed our model of evangelism and church planting, for how we engage has cost us $10 million each over 10 years to start a new congregation. And we have very few congregations to show for this work. This is a lot of money and a long time to work out the missionary strategy. We are hoping that you and the existing congregations will begin to think with us about possible opportunities, dream with us about satellites, second sites, new communities. We need to crowdsource our future sites for congregational development and new communities of all kinds all over the diocese. We've been able to bring in our strategic mission grants to help underwrite critical newcomer ministry for existing congregations. We must be sure that as an Episcopal church, we keep our promise to welcome you. Second sites like St. Mark's Between the Bayous, Houston, the Front Porch in Austin, St. Basil's in Austin, and Epiphany Community in Tyler are springing up. And with our migration of people, we need to seed one also on South Congress in Austin, on college campuses all over our diocese, and to any community that we can find people. We're also closing the gap on 10 years with new plants. Through strategic funding with the Quinn Foundation, we've been able in 2 years to move a congregation from its first days in a living room to a new building within its target mission area. 2 years. By purchasing the building but not the land, we were able to move from a 10-year, $10 million start to a 3-year, $1.8 million start with a mission savings of $8.2 million. Yet, it's still too expensive, and our processes move too slow. So I've turned on the heat, appointing a real estate group, which you heard about, which has initially targeted 14 new church sites throughout the diocese, along with 4 new initiatives for Spanish-speaking congregations. And then I asked David Fisher to find me an architect. I believe that we need to be able to have a piece of property in our target mission area, hire a vicar to evangelize the area, and in 6 months get on the site inside of a church building. I believe most people are attracted to the Episcopal Church. They are attracted to a brand which incorporates good worship and liturgy with a beautiful church building and engages mission and service within the community. We know how to do the latter. Now let's get the building right. So I told David, I said, I have some guidelines. Needs to be standard. We need to be able to build it out of Home Depot if we have to. I said, it has to be movable. We never put them in the right place. It needs to seat 150 people. It needs to come with basic parking and air conditioning. It has to look like an Episcopal church. Yeah, I think that's worth applause right there. You'd think it'd be so obvious. And it can't cost more than $1 million to build. I told him I liked the porch addition at Bishop High's River House. And so David went to go see our man, Logic Tabola. Logic came back after talking to people and researching churches, said he had a plan that met my design, was all natural, would last 100 years, and include a bell tower. He did say that it would seat 165 and it was expandable to 190. Bob Beal said, well, that guarantees we'll never build a small one. He said the only thing was he couldn't meet my $1 million mark. He said it only cost $500,000. Today, we are in conversation with a number of sites that may be ready to go by the fall. We're looking at two missions ready to build, plus five other congregations who are interested. The architects are designing the project as we speak and will be able to begin within the year and offer the drawings to the wider Episcopal Church. We're bringing down the cost of being a missionary church, a farming church, a church willing to answer the call to be laborers in the fields of the Lord. We're bringing down our costs to get us into the neighborhoods and communities where we can undertake God's mission. And we have to plant these congregations because a great migration of people is coming. Where will they find the love they are seeking and the care for their family, the spiritual care for themselves? The Episcopal Church has a legacy of embracing the challenge of church planting in every era, and this is our solution. As you know, there is a written report online. I want you to go and look. It goes through almost every bit of our ministry to form multicultural new ministries, diaconal mission from goals achieved to changes that still lie ahead. So I want you to take a look. I want to spend just a few more minutes on the initiatives in 2013 that I want to highlight. And then I'm going to ask you to take a standing break, and we're going to come back, and I want to talk with you about St. Luke's Episcopal Health System. Major 2013 initiatives, the conference. One of the things that we have been aware of is that we pull you away from your congregations too many times to attend the conferences, all of the conferences that we have, and that there are time and monetary pressures on you that you have to feel because we have a conference on everything. So in 2013, we're having one conference called The Conference. It's the conference, and it's going to be held at Camp Allen May 3rd through May 5th, and it's going to focus on stewardship, formation, and evangelism. And I'm really hoping that you'll send teams of people and come and be with us as we do some fellowship, but also we spend some time looking at the things that are before us. Greg Rickle and Bill Miller and myself, among a number of other people, will be presenting. So I invite you to make that a priority. After council, I will be appointing a real estate group to focus on the 14 new sites across the diocese and how we will purchase these sites and move into that. I plan on visiting with you in the fall of 2013. We'll have some Greenfield summits and be able to communicate out to you in detail about these 14 sites and how we see our movement forward. We're going to search for and hire a canon for common mission to help fully develop our vision on innovative mission, as I talked about, for service and outreach that goes through the 57 counties. A new budget structure is needed for the diocese. We had this planned for 2014, but we need to do it now. So we're going to move and report back to you in 2014 on a new way of doing the budget in the Diocese of Texas. And in 2013, because that will be the last of the major pieces of our strategic plan, in 2013, we will do an evaluation of the diocese, a third-party analysis of our plan and the goals that we have met, and we'll report back to you on that. So, let me end this first section with a quote from Theodore Roosevelt's speech entitled Citizenship in the Republic from 1910. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms and the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Let us dare greatly. Let us dream together of a time of great innovation and creativity. Let us dream of new mission and outreach. Let us dream of new evangelism strategies and new churches. And let us not be observers and cynics, but let us instead return to the work of tilling the field and preparing the soil, sowing the seeds and watering and nurturing the crops. Let us remember we are made to be farmers, and our yield is nothing less than the kingdom of God. There is no greater cause, no greater cause, and no greater family than I would rather serve than with you in the Diocese of Texas. Thank you.